And then the second thing was I actually had to use commentaries. I was saying to Anthea, it's a chapter that you can't actually master without actually going to other people. And I found out a little bit of another side truth, and that is approximately 1 in 3 Christians do not believe in the physical resurrection. So approximately 1 in 3 of us would, in our hearts, go, I don't really think there's a thing called the physical resurrection. I think heaven's a spiritual place. So my question to you is, have you ever contemplated this? How easy it is to lose all hope by simply overthinking God or letting other people sow doubt in our minds. How easy it is to lose all hope by simply overthinking God or letting other people sow doubt in our minds. Now, most people argue that the most important chapter of the Bible is actually 1 Corinthians 15. While 13 is the most loved, after all, it has a focus on love, chapter 15 focuses on a gospel truth, the resurrection. You see, while love hung on a cross as a sacrifice to us, love always brought the resurrection of our Christ and the resurrection of ourselves. With love comes the hope of the resurrection. Love opens the door to us for the hope of a resurrected life lived in harmony and unity with our Father, His Son, and His Holy Spirit. Now, chapter 15 is a very long chapter, so to get to the gist of it, I'm going to read from my favourite paraphrase, thank you, Andy, The Street. He, Paul, drums up the core principles. The Liberator died to wipe out our mess. Then he came back alive and kicking. There were witnesses, and Paul was one of them. If Jesus didn't come back from death, then pack it in, team. Without that, it's all a big game. We're just a club like any other, only sadder. But he did come back to life, and he blew apart Adam's death chains that hold us back from a limitless life. He's in charge, and he'll pick off his enemies until only the big one's left, death itself. Then he'll kill death, all because he came back to life. Like a seed only grows when it's been buried in the earth, so we'll die and get a new lease of life. We don't know the details yet. We can't draw a diagram, but it'll happen. I'm telling you, team, our mortal bodies don't go to heaven. You can't have something that ages, rots, and dies somewhere timeless. It doesn't work. But the secret's out. Some of us won't snuff it, but all of us will get a body exchange. No coded warning. Some angel will get the nod, then a blink later he'll blast his trumpet and the dead will come back alive permanently. We'll rip off our mortal clothes to be kitted out with new designer immortal bodies. Then the old lion's death drowned in victory's ocean will come out true, just like Hosea said. Death, you've lost your edge. How come? Death, your bullets are blank. How come? Death's ammunition is our mess. He packs it into bullets and that comply with Moses' rule book and then fires it all back at us. But thank God, our boss, Jesus the Liberator, has emptied the bullets by cleaning up our mess. So the bullets are duds. And they just ricochet off us. We win. So team, don't shift. Don't get blown off the road. Go for it 100%. You're working for the boss. And you know that's worth breaking sweat for. It's not a waste of time. Hang in there. How easy it is to lose all hope by simply overthinking God or letting other people sow doubt in our minds. Chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter. In the whole Bible, the biggest cluster of verses that talk about the resurrection is 1 Corinthians 15. It's a powerful chapter. Powerful not only in its message, but powerful when you look at the context that Paul was speaking into. You see, Paul is directly speaking into the context of fake news. Now, the commentators say heresy. I'm saying fake news. They mean very similar things. He is telling them, he is telling the people of Corinth, here are the facts. This is the gospel truth. Believe it in its fullness. In all of your chaos, you have overthought the gospel. You have been misled by philosophies of others. And by doing this, you have removed the hope out of the gospel truth. The gospel didn't stop at the cross. It only just started there. Paul is directly speaking into this fake news and shining a light on it. How easy it is to lose all hope by simply overthinking God or letting other people sow doubt in your minds. We learn from the opening verses of Corinthians 1 that the church was overthinking the gospel. Rather than just believing in facts, the church had split. People had started to take sides on who gave the correct teachings of Christ and the way of the church. The Corinthian church had become divided by conceptions of truth. And it appears that all these conceptions centered around a divide in the Greek world, a divide that is also in our world, in our culture today. And that divide is between the body and the spirit. Often this divide has the spiritual meaning of more value than the physical. We often contemplate the spiritual as being a lot more powerful than the physical. And that is simply not true. It is possible that some of the church of Corinth had started to rethink what was meant by the resurrection. Some may have concluded that true resurrection occurs when our spirit is set free from our bodies. There are some people in Greece that saw the body as a prison. There are some people in this church today that see their body as a prison. You know, when we've got all the sickness in that, you want to be set free. You think, let's get out of this body. Some had even concluded that in death, our body is gone. And there's nothing more. Some may have thought the resurrection had already occurred and there was no resurrection to look forward to. Some may have even questioned the resurrection of Jesus. Maybe they doubted it. After all, there were other gospels going around at that time, gospels that talked about Jesus only coming back as a spirit. So maybe they doubted it. Maybe they thought Jesus broke free from his physical body. After all, let's be honest, if you think about it, if you really, really think about it, I mean, if you spend a good deal of time just thinking about it, physically coming back from the dead is a ridiculous concept. If you really think about it. Aside from the story told to us in the Bible, how many of us know of someone other than Jesus who came back from the dead after 3 days? Just think about it. It's so easy to overthink. Resurrecting a physical body, think about it. It's ridiculous. How easy it is to lose all hope by overthinking God or letting others sow doubt in your mind. So in this chapter, Paul puts his counter-argument to the fake news spreading in the Corinthian church through 3 key sections. In the first 11 verses, he focuses on the historical event of Christ's resurrection. In verses 12 to 34, he points out that the hope for the Corinthian church is in resurrection. And from 35 onwards, he challenges the Corinthian church to live a resurrected life. So let's look at each aspect. It's a very long chapter, so that's why I've read you the street version. So just bear with me. The first 11 verses, the historical event. The historical event. Paul is quick to counter the fake news that was spreading in that church, to counter the one in three who would say resurrection is not a physical thing, by pointing to the facts. Paul doesn't argue for a doctrine. He doesn't actually even give you a philosophy of resurrection. He just points to the facts. It is a fact that Jesus died. It is a fact that his body was physically buried. Jesus did not just disappear. He died on a cross. And to ensure that he was dead, a soldier pierced his side. His death is a physical fact. Furthermore, his death was a very public event. Everyone that was there would have seen it. His body was buried by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. They physically picked his body up, laid it in a tomb, and closed the tomb. 3 days later, the tomb was found empty. Fact. The risen Christ appeared to more than 500 people, including Paul. Fact. This is what Paul's doing. These are the facts. When Paul was writing this letter, there would have been people still alive that would be able to testify to what they had seen. So just as Christ's death is a physical fact, the physical resurrection of Christ is a fact. A side fact to all of this is that we know from Scripture that the disciples did not expect Jesus to come back from the dead. It is a belief in these facts that brought the church into existence. I was thinking as we were singing the hymn of heaven, would there even be a church if everything stopped at the cross? Would there even be a church if everything stopped? I actually don't think there would be. I think it was Jesus and his resurrection that was the beginning of the church. So it is a belief in these facts that brings a church into existence. It was the reality that some people in Corinth believed in these facts, that the church in Corinth existed. If these facts are not true, the church in Corinth existed on foolishness. And we today do as well. The church exists because of the resurrection. And yes, if you really think about it, talk about it, debate about it, concepts like the resurrection seem extraordinary, impossible, improbable. But the gospel is built on facts, not philosophies or thinking. The gospel does not give us guidelines for our lives. It does not tell us what we have to do. It is not a set of rules. Instead, it tells us the truth, that Jesus died for us. He died for our sins, and in order to give us new life and hope, he was resurrected from the dead. The new life, our new life, comes in the resurrection, not the cross. Our atonement comes at the cross. Because Christ rose from the dead, Paul goes on to say, we too will rise. How easy it is to lose all hope by simply overthinking God or letting other people sow doubt in our minds. Now that Paul has established the facts around the physical resurrection of Christ, he goes on to the next point. And that's the resurrection is our only hope. Paul asserts that while love was nailed to the cross, our sins were atoned at the cross, we were forgiven at the cross, our point of hope is in the resurrection moment, the victory moment. Death, the ultimate enemy, could not hold him down. He is risen. And death will not hold us down as we too will join into the resurrection moment. So our hope, Christian hope, goes beyond death. Christian hope goes beyond death. For us, the day may end in a sunset, but we're looking beyond the sunset to the sun rising. And just in case you're taking notes, I'm talking sun, S-O-N, set, sun, S-O-N, rising. Without a belief in our own resurrection, in our physical resurrection, our faith, our point of hope is useless. Without the resurrection moment and the hope that it brings, we have no assurance of the revelation moment when we're reunited with each other, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we have no hope for this future, we are fools, all of us, because we suffer for nothing. Every time we stand up for our faith, if we actually do not believe in the hope of the resurrection, we actually are standing on sandy ground, team. Every time we confess the name of Jesus without the hope of the resurrection, we speak without the power that it brings. Jesus died for our offences, our sins. In his resurrection is our justification. The victory is in the resurrection, not the moment of death on the cross. And if Christ did not rise, then Paul would say our faith is pointless, because Christ would not be able to advocate for us. We would not have a hope for the future. A dead Saviour can't take away sins, rescue us from God's wrath, or develop a relationship with us, because a dead Saviour is dead. Resurrection is where our hope is planted. To not believe in the resurrection either of Christ or the church is to believe in something without power. There is no point believing in falsehoods. The Christian life is only the best life when it's based on the truth of the gospel. And how easy it is to lose all hope by simply overthinking God, or even listening to the doubts that others sow in our minds. So Paul establishes through facts the gospel truth of the resurrection. He then goes on to point out to the hope of the resurrection. He finally moves to the final part of his talk of resurrection, the resurrection life. Now this final bit hits the fake news creeping into the Corinthian church yet again. This comes back to the physical and the spiritual, and a concept that even some of us fall into now, of thinking that the resurrection is solely a spiritual thing. When we sing of the hope of the resurrection, many of us have a very spiritual picture in the mind of us floating around with angels. We do not see a physically resurrected body. We have fallen into the trap of thinking that our God, the God who actually created us physically and spiritually, we fall into a trap of thinking he only cares about our spiritual selves. And this is simply not true. The reality is, as Paul would remind the church of Corinth, resurrection is very physical. It is important to realize that whenever the resurrection is mentioned in Scripture, it is about a physical standing up of the body. It is about the physical body being stood up. The Greek word for resurrection, anastasis, means just this, to stand up. Now, commentators are very quick to point a simple truth out, a truth that actually doesn't involve too much thinking. A spirit simply can't be stood up. Float up, maybe, but for a spirit to actually do something physically is impossible. Added to all this is that we're so often caught up in this debate about the physical and the spiritual, and what matters to God most is that we actually are missing the true focus, the true difference that Paul was talking into. The real point of difference we need to focus on, the real difference, is that our current body and condition, which is subject to death, is mortal. And our future body and condition is immortal. Paul reminds us that by one man's death, Adam's sin, we were made, by one man's sin, Adam's sin, we were made unrighteous. But by another man's obedience, Jesus' obedience, we have been made righteous. Death is not the final word on our lives. And while most of us in this room will die, we, along with those that have left us in death, will experience a physical resurrection moment. It will be physical. But the one thing that we know is our mortal bodies are flawed products. They break on us. We get sick. We experience pain. And most of us have our own disabilities. Our bodies are broken. And Paul is quick to remind the Corinthian church, though, that bodies are not prisons, and that in our resurrection we will inhabit a new body, one that is immortal, without the flaws of our current condition. Yeah, take it, no back pain, no sickness, no aging, no need for glasses. Well, where glasses are only a fashion item. It's a little like we are seeds, and in our death we are planted. But in our resurrection, we become the plant the seed was destined to be. Or for the younger ones of us, it's a little like we're Marvel superheroes. Our human condition is broken, but in our metamorphosis, we turn into that superhero. We realise our immortal and ultimately perfect condition. It's a tough bit of theology, but it's key. Resurrection is a fact in the gospel. It is our hope, and in our hope we will be resurrected anew. It's something that I do overthink myself, and I find it easier in my mind to see everything as a spiritual end. It just makes it so much easier when I'm doing all this overthinking. And Paul's saying, don't go down that path, Fiona. Don't go down that path, Corinth. Because when you start going down that path, you're taking away the hope from the gospel. When you try to box God into your brain in a way that makes sense in your brain, you miss the ultimate out. You know, in the church fathers, we often, in our church, we'll often refer to the Catholic fathers, because our church whakapapas to the Catholic Church, but we also had the Orthodox fathers as well, which we don't often talk about in the Western Christianity part. But when I was doing Bible college with Anthea, I remember doing an assignment on the Trinity and that concept of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit being one, and how hard that is to fathom in your mind. And I loved reading one of the Orthodox Church Fathers who says, when I really fathom it, when I try to really get my head around it and I find I can't actually get a picture in my head of making it work. You know, here's the Catholic fathers, it's an egg. There's a shell, there's a white, and there's a yolk. And that's how it works. And here's this Orthodox father going, I really can't get it. When I actually realise there are things that I can't have in my mind, entrapped in my mind, I just realise how beautiful, how majestic, how great our God is, because I can't box him in. That's what the resurrection is. It's something we can't box in. But when I try to really box it in, what also helps me, and what helps me understand, is my resurrected body is not going to be this body, is when I actually look at the gospel story. And a little simple fact: Jesus was not recognizable immediately by his disciples. It tells me something deep happens in a resurrection moment. And it must. After all, once you have physically conquered death, you must be transformed. That's a very logical thing. And while we live in this hope and this expectation that we live in preparation of our resurrected moment, The best way to prepare ourselves is to live a life in service with each other, in service to each other. This is the way of love, knowing that hope springs eternal. You know, it is really easy to lose all hope when you overthink God, or when you let that one person sow that seed of doubt in your mind. It is so easy. I actually know of young Christians who have completely turned away from God because they've overthought, or they've let that seed of doubt enter in. Let us hold on to the gospel truth of the resurrection. It is physical. It is real, and it is our hope. My challenge to you, 1 in 3 Christians do not believe in the physical resurrection. I am now going to try and do something remarkable and summarize the entire chapter 15 into 3 key points. Point 1, the act of love on the cross is followed by the hope that is found in the victory of the resurrection. The act of love on the cross is followed by the hope that is found in the victory of the resurrection. 2, if we dismiss the simple truth, we reject the reason for our being as a church. So if we miss this simple truth, we reject the reason for our being as a church. And 3, if we accept this simple truth, the promise is that we too will both physically and spiritually be resurrected into immortality so that we can commune with our Father, his Son, and be in the presence of his Holy Spirit. So if we accept this simple truth, this very simple truth, that our Saviour was resurrected, that the church was born out of that resurrection, and that we too will be physically and spiritually resurrected, we will be able to commune with our Father, his Son, in the presence of his Holy Spirit. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Kia ora.